everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Passion to Profession, where I cover stories of some insanely interesting people and their journey to success. Today, I have with me Byron Morrison, who is a mindset and a high performance coach, a best-selling author and a speaker from UK. And he's passionate about helping CEOs handle the shadow side of success. We recently connected on LinkedIn, and I'm so glad to have him as my guest today. Byron, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, my pleasure, Byron. And, you know, normally I start off by asking my guests about how their journey began. But in your case, since we only recently connected, I'm definitely curious to know more about you, what you do in terms of helping CEOs handle shadow side of success. What exactly is that? What is shadow side of success, and how do you help your clients?
Well, for me, so often when we kind of look at a CEO or a business owner, we get this image of someone who's got it all figured out, who has all the answers, who's got everything together. And I find that often because of that, these CEOs and business owners land up in a situation where they're carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders. What most people don't realize, though, is they're under a tremendous amount of pressure. They have a huge expectation on them to perform and deliver. And as with anything in life, whenever you shine a light on something, there's a shadow side as well. So while people often think of running a business as something to do with power and money and freedom, while that may be part of it, they overlook just how difficult and how much of a roller coaster ride it can be as well, which is why essentially what I'm doing is helping them up-level their brain power so that they can actually consistently show up at their best, that they can execute without overthinking, they can have a clear-headed focus, and they can take the actions they need without losing their composure, crumbling to the stress, or really just being pushed to their limit.
Oh, that's what you actually mean, that the pressure and the stress that CEOs are generally under. And I can only imagine, and I'm not even a CEO, just managing my day job and just starting and rolling out my podcast itself. It's been very stressful, but it's also rewarding. And I fantasize about taking midday naps and all that. But yeah, I can understand if that's where probably you come in and you step in to help them handle that situation. Is that right?
Yeah, 100%, because the reality is what got us to the point that we're at today isn't going to help us get to the point that we want to be at tomorrow. And for a lot of kind of CEOs, they've reached the level of success that they're at through willpower, strength, and perseverance, which has got them this far. But now in order to sustain and continue to grow, they need to evolve their thinking, their brain power, and their actions in order to not just sustain it, but really reach that next level.
Yes. And it's interesting, you did mention Evolve CEO, and I was reading your profile on LinkedIn, and it did say that you do have a program for the CEOs called the Evolve CEO. What is the program about?
And essentially what it is it's a one-to-one coaching and consulting program, where over a period of 90 days, I work directly with CEOs to really up-level their brain power. We go through a four-step process I've developed over the last 5 years to really flip the four key upgrade switches in their head so that they can work faster, they can think more clearly, and they can erase stress effortlessly. It's all about helping them really tap into their full potential so that they can fire at full capacity.
That totally makes sense. And I'm sure CEOs would appreciate a program like that, because we only see, whenever we think of success, we only think of the bright side, right? Just the advantages of, achieving something, but we never really realize what it takes behind the scenes. And I think that's where you come in and help elevate the situation and help through the process, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, kind of building on that, that kind of is what plays into the whole shadow side of success element, because the age-old saying, if it's lonely at the top, is unfortunately very true, because like you just said, we only see the good side of it. And I find that for a lot of CEOs, they almost have to bottle up how they're feeling, because if they're stressed or they're overwhelmed or they feel pulled in multiple directions, they don't want other people to see that. They don't want their team to think that they can't handle it. They don't want their customers to think they can't cope. So they kind of put on an act, putting on this brave face to the outside world, even though their kind of internal state doesn't match up to their outside success. So that's where I kind of come in, is this external sounding board and kind of platform they can use to really get that support without feeling like they're going to be judged.
Yes. I actually want to ask you, what made you choose this path? When did you transition over? I did notice that you were in marketing before, but when did you actually transition over to launch this program to help the CEOs? Was there like a particular situation in your life which was like an awakening moment for you?
Yeah, to kind of answer that, I'll have to take you back a few years, and just kind of share a bit of my story. You see, kind of like growing up, I was always one of those people who wanted to do something that mattered. I wanted to create an impact. I wanted to help others, but I never really knew what that was or how to turn that vision into a reality. So like most other people, I kind of just did what was expected of me. I went to university. I got a degree. I got a job. A few years later, I found myself in a good position, earning good money. I was on track to a life that other people would deem a success. But to be honest, I was very, very unhappy. I kind of knew that I was meant for so much more. And I was just basically spending my days going through the motions, knowing what to do, but not knowing why I was doing it. And it was only after my dad's cancer and seeing the pain he went through during his treatment, where he had most of his bowel surgically removed, and he spent 25 days in ICU, most of that on life support and breathing through a tracheostomy, that I realized that there had to be something more to life. And that was what really made me realize that I had to kind of transform my own life and how I felt. So I spent the next few years learning everything I could about psychology, mindset, personal development, health, high performance. And the more I dived into it, the more I realized how much my dad's success had led to him getting sick. Because at the time, he had a really successful position. He was working 14-hour days. He had the weight of the world on his shoulders and under a tremendous amount of pressure to perform and deliver, which eventually took its toll. So all of that would eventually kind of go on to be the foundation of my best-selling book. It's why I became a speaker. And that's why over the last few years of working with people, I found the group that I really loved working with was business owners and CEOs, because like me, they dared to think bigger. They wanted to change the world. They also, working with people at the highest level was incredibly fulfilling. And thirdly, a lot of their struggles was exactly what my dad was going through. So it furthered my mission of helping others avoid going through what happened to him.
Yeah, sorry to hear that, Byron. And I can understand like how devastating a cancer diagnosis can be, especially if it does happen to a family member. I can somehow relate to the story, you know, on how you got affected by your dad's situation. I was in a similar situation a few years ago. Like my mom passed away a few years ago from cancer too. And I recall, you know, until that time, I had kind of taken her for granted, you know, as though she would be there for my, as my pillar of strength, like throughout my life. But the time that we actually lost her, you know, made me realize that life is really short. Like our time is so limited. And it's our responsibility to make it as meaningful as it can be. So, yeah, I mean, I can see how that incident was life-changing for you. It changed your whole path, right?
Yeah, it kind of that really, for me, put life into perspective, because it just shows you kind of how fragile and short it is, and why I'm such a firm believer in that if we're unhappy or if things aren't where we want them to be, and if we're not kind of like waking up every single day excited by what we're doing, something has to change, because we do only have one chance. And I find that so many people just go through life settling or accepting the way that things have to be. And if I can kind of get out there and help people break through that, then that's kind of the thing that lights that fire inside of what I do.
Yes. So I want to ask you, definitely you are a successful coach today. You are helping CEOs with your program. You've written a book. But during the course of your path, have you seen a failure of any sort? Have you failed at anything? Or what is your approach whenever there is a setback?
To be honest, I've failed so many times since I started my business. And this is one of those things that I openly talk about, because a lot of people see failure as a bad thing, whereas I see every kind of setback and failure as a stepping stone and a way of kind of learning not what to do. Because so often we need those failures to really kind of progress and grow and evolve. Like, as a kind of example, like when I first started this and my book came out, my initial kind of focus was on kind of health and nutrition. And I did various bits in that for a good year and a half. And I just found that the passion wasn't really there. And I kind of did a few projects that really didn't work out. And if they had gone according to plan, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. I wouldn't have found like my passion in mindset and high performance, because everything led me to where I am. So for me, failure is all about perspective. We can either choose to look at it as a negative thing, or we can actually reflect on, be okay, what can I learn from this? And what is it setting me up for next?
Right. Everything happens for a reason, they say. So maybe your setback in the health and nutrition area actually led you to pursue this path, which worked out great for you.
Yeah, 100%. Right? I think the really important difference is when we fail, we've really got two choices. Choice number one is we can feel down on it and we can keep trying and doing the same thing over and over again. And that's when failure can become a negative thing, because we're just kind of hoping for the best. Whereas if we fail and we take the time to then sit down and reflect on it and be like, okay, what went wrong? What can we learn from this? Why did this happen? And where do we maybe need to pivot or grow? That's when failure becomes a good thing, because it's a learning experience. So it all comes down to how we not only look at it, but choose to kind of process it afterwards.
One approach that has really worked for me is that just thinking that failure is not permanent. And I agree, when you say that you cannot just continue to try in the same way, failure just means that we need to retry, but try a different way, reset or readjust our focus and the way we do things. So I think failure is a sign to change the way that we look at things. Coming to the last section of my podcast, which what is called as a rapid fire round. These are the set of questions that I put together to know my guests more at a personal level. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Okay, so first question, tell me something about you that no one knows yet or is not found on any of the social media profiles.
One thing that I don't really share publicly, and this is actually, we're integrating this into our next marketing campaign, which I'm so excited about, is that I'm a massive superhero nerd. Like, I've watched the Marvel films more times than I care to admit. Like, in my office, I've got a big Captain America poster. And yeah, we've put together a load of content and videos tying into superheroes and connecting it to growing a business, which is just an idea I had, but it's been so much fun kind of creating it, because it's tying two different areas of my life that I'm hugely passionate about. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens
with
it.
Yeah, that is so interesting. Is it going to be coming out very soon?
I've actually been filming videos with it the last couple of days. So the first one's going to go out later today. It's just like what superhero films can teach us about running a business.
Nice. So yeah, we get to see you in the Captain American costume in the next video then.
That would be a great idea. I might, that's not planned at the moment, but we'll see how kind of the first ones go down.
Yeah. All right. Next question. Your best source of inspiration.
I tend to find my best source of inspiration is listening to people and their stories. Like, I think there's so much value to be found from people who have achieved something that you want to achieve. Like, if you look at like a top CEO or someone who's written an autobiography or achieved something amazing in life, there's a lot of room in there to learn from their mistakes, to find out what they did, what they tried, and what really got them to where they want to be. So that tends to be where I go inspiration-wise, to kind of look at people who've accomplished and made it to where I want to go and find out how they did it.
Mm-hmm. And do you listen to your stories? Like, do you read autobiographies or listen to podcasts? What would be the way?
A kind of a mixture. I do. My reading list at the moment is longer than I want to think about, but I do, because I'm always adding books to it. But yeah, I'll read autobiographies. I'll watch. Sometimes I find it easier to watch documentaries or watch videos or kind of stories about someone and like interviews with them, because that's a kind of a good outlet for me. If I'm going to take a 15-minute coffee break, I can put on an interview with like someone, say like Elon Musk, sharing his story and kind of lessons he's learned. Like, that's something I do just to kind of relax as well.
I remember watching this documentary on Steve Jobs. I think it was on Netflix or so. A very inspiring one.
Yeah, he's another kind of prime example of someone who thought so big and achieved so many incredible things that I think they're the people we need to be looking at what was actually led to that.
Absolutely. Okay, next question. Name one habit or routine that you had to incorporate in your everyday process that has made you so productive and successful.
Probably the thing that has the biggest impact is setting aside time to properly plan. Like every single Sunday, I'll sit down and I'll map out my week ahead. And at the start of every month, I also have like a monthly plan of what I want to achieve that month. And then I'll kind of map out my week, work out what needs to be done on each of the days, what all needs to happen for it to be a successful week. And then every single morning I'll sit down and I'll work out exactly what I'm doing that day. So I constantly can track it. I know exactly what's going on and I can also adjust it along the way, which sounds really obvious, but the amount of people I speak to who have a to-do list, but they have no actual plan of how they're going to tackle it. And this is why they always feel like they're playing catch up or focusing on busy work or pulled in multiple directions. So the one big piece of advice I can give to anyone listening to this is those few minutes taken every single day to plan can completely transform your kind of day and success.
Yeah, it is obvious, but very few of us do it. And with regards to planning, I'm not too much of a planner. I don't plan like a month ahead. But what I have noticed is this Sunday evening planning for the week, you know, if I don't do it on the Sunday evening, then the whole week would just, you know, fly by with the to-do list just lying there. So I have noticed that if I plan by Sunday afternoon or evening, then the week would be much more productive. But I have never tried planning the whole month. Maybe I should try that.
Yeah. With the month, the one thing, I don't mean plan the whole month, but it's just kind of sitting down and working out, okay, what are the biggest focuses for the next 30 days? What are the kind of things that you need to keep on your mind that are ideas? What things do you need to get to? What events might you be attending? What could kind of throw you off course? It's just kind of giving you an overview so that you know roughly what to expect. And then you can kind of break that down into a week by week process when you do it every Sunday evening.
So like basically set like a big goal and then just, you know, cut it out into chunks of activities and split it into like the smaller tasks. And that way you can do that over the weeks, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Makes sense. So for my last question, I want to ask you, according to you, what is the best way to turn your passion into a profession and ultimately find your life purpose? What would be your advice?
This is a question that I get quite a lot because I get people messaging me saying that they want to find their purpose. They want to know what they're passionate about. And so often to do it, people think, oh, they need to go meditate or sit in silence for a few hours or go for a walk and somehow the universe is magically going to give it to them. Whereas what I found is it doesn't work like that. The way that you find your passion and your purpose is to try new things. Like if I use my own story as an example, like growing up, I was always struggled with my weight. I never exercised. I thought that exercise was something I didn't want to do. It was something I didn't enjoy and I avoided it completely. And it was after my dad's cancer and me making the decision that I needed to get healthy that I pushed myself to start going to the gym. And I remember the first kind of couple of times of going in there. And one time in particular, I walked into the weight area and there were all of these big guys in the corner grunting, staring at their biceps. And I felt so out of place. I remember convincing myself that it's too busy. I'll come back later when it's quieter. And luckily, I got the courage to push myself to go again. And that simple action of pushing myself to try something new by exercising, eventually I actually started to enjoy it. Then I made the decision that if I want to do this, I want to do it properly. I need to learn how to fuel my body, what I actually needs to be done. Started learning more about nutrition. That sparked a passion. That then led to learning about psychology and health and behaviors. And all of that then led to my book and me becoming a speaker and opening a business. Like, my passion and purpose didn't just magically fall into my lap. It was because I put myself out there, tried new things, and found out what I enjoyed. So yeah, that's why I always say to people, like, if you don't know what your passion and purpose is, put yourself in situations where you have to try new things and see what you actually like.
Right.
Like, there's no like short answer of, oh, if you do this tomorrow, you'll know what your passion and purpose is. Like, it might take a week, it might take a year, might take longer. But if you keep pushing yourself to grow and experience new things, you'll get a much clearer self-awareness of what's actually you want to do with your life and what excites you.
And I love the concept of trying new things, which is what actually I'm doing right now. I'm trying out writing blogs and now this podcasting. So just trying to put myself in situations which is a little bit uncomfortable, a bit scary, but then, you know, I do feel that that's when the growth happens. It's always outside of the comfort zone. I did like the idea of when you mentioned that take the first step, you know, start off and then see how the path unfolds. So we all we don't have the complete answers, but, you know, a start is a good way to go about it.
Yeah, 100%. And it doesn't have to be a fitness thing. It could be anything.
Yes.
Like, if you're trying to find that, you could, like, if someone's listening to this trying to find out what they want to do, like, they could take a class, they could learn a new skill, they could go to an event, they could volunteer somewhere, they could go do something like with public speaking, they could go to networking events and meet people and find out about what they're doing. Like, mm-hmm. There's so many different options. It's just finding out how can you constantly look for ways to kind of grow and evolve. And that's going to go such a long way in you finding out who you are.
Yes, totally agree with that. I think that is all the time we have today, Byron. I want to really thank you for your time speaking with me today and giving an overview of your work. I'll make sure that I will share your details with my audience as well. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on.
That was Byron Morrison talking about how his life experiences shaped his path and helped him find his passion and purpose, which is helping CEOs handle the shadow side of success through his customized Evolve CEO program. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I would love to see your feedback on iTunes. Do leave me a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts if you do like the show. I'll be back next week with another exciting episode where I interview a family friend who is a singer by passion, and his comeback story of pursuing his singing to make his mark and grow his fan base in California. Stay tuned for that episode, which is coming out very soon. And as always, thank you so much for listening in.